Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, the politics and substance of the 2020 U.S. Census. The Trump administration wants to add a citizenship question to the U.S. Census for the first time since 1950. Is this an attempt at a fairer count or a partisan power grab? Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. Every 10 years, the United States conducts a population survey or census. An accurate national count is critical because the results are used for determining how many congressional representatives and electoral votes are apportioned to each state and how hundreds of billions of dollars in federal spending is allocated. With the exception of the 1950 census, the decennial survey has included every person in the United States without regard to his or her citizenship or immigration status. However, for the first time since 1950, the Trump administration has introduced a citizenship question for the 2020 census. In March 2018, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, whose department oversees the census, announced the 2020 census would ask every household about citizenship status, saying it was necessary to protect minority voting rights. In sworn testimony before Congress, he said the Justice Department made the request in December 2017 to include the question to help it enforce the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Well, since then, three federal trial judges have ruled that the evidence in the record demonstrates that Mr. Ross was dissembling. In the meantime, evidence from the computer files of a deceased Republican strategist suggests that the administration's actual reason was to collect information that might allow states to draw voting districts counting only eligible voters, rather than is the current practice, all residents. So adding the citizenship question would create a structural advantage for Republican and non-Hispanic white voters and restrict the political power of Democrats and Latino communities. Career officials at the Census Department estimate that asking all U.S. residents whether they are citizens could spark a 5.8% decline in response rates from non-citizens, leading to a serious undercount of Hispanics and immigrant communities. The House of Representatives Oversight and Reform Committee moved to hold two cabinet-level officials, Attorney General William Barr, who oversees the Department of Justice, and Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, in contempt of Congress over the administration's effort to shield documents related to its decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. U.S. President Donald Trump asserted executive privilege over material related to the 2020 census. The Supreme Court is already weighing whether adding the citizenship question to the census was lawful and may hand down a ruling in the coming weeks. The decision will have far-reaching effects on the distribution of political power and federal funding across the country for the next decade and beyond. Joining us to discuss the significance and politics of the 2020 U.S. Census are Aaron Sherb. He's Director of Legislative Affairs at Common Cause, and that's a nonpartisan grassroots organization dedicated to upholding the core values of American democracy. And Dan Stein, he's president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR, and that's a nonpartisan public interest organization which seeks to reduce overall immigration to a more normal level. And both panelists join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, Dan Stein, let me begin with you. Your organization wants to reduce immigration to a more normal level, as your literature says. What does that actually mean in concrete terms? And secondly, are you in favor or opposed to adding the citizenship question to the 2020 census?
In immigration policy, there are only three questions: how many people you're going to admit, who are they going to be, and how you enforce the rules. A more normal level of immigration is one that is consistent with A, enforcement of rules, which are obviously not being enforced effectively in the United States, as they are in many other countries around the world. And then the question of how many. Well, over the course of 400 years or so, we've had immigration levels far below the current level today. We have the highest sustained levels of immigration in our country's history, no end in sight. The numbers continue to go up, and we would like to see them restored back to what we think are more traditional levels that can be more easily absorbed and are consistent with our environmental, social, economic goals as a nation. FAIR has been involved in various aspects of the census and the conduct of the census for quite some time, and our interest is in providing good qualitative data as it relates to the reapportionment process to assure that, first of all, voting rights are effectively enforced. And that means having a better understanding of citizens per district to ensure that voting rights are not being suppressed among certain citizen minorities. And we have also been interested in this whole question of what the cost of immigration is for U.S. taxpayers, U.S. citizen taxpayers. And we feel that the inclusion of a citizenship question, which seems in a democracy like ours, not asking an awful lot, like what's the big deal, right? Census asks all kinds of intrusive questions, particularly the long form about your lifestyle, where you live, and there are various commercial applications for census data. Certain core fundamental civics components of why we conduct a census are at issue here. And the argument that there might be an undercount as a result of asking the question is purely hypothetical, because until you do the census and do an analysis, it's purely speculative whether or not it's actually going to suppress participation. And if the argument is that people here illegally, with no right to be in the country, might not actually fill out the form, well, the question is, what are the public policy implications behind that, and why is it necessarily in our interest for them to hand it out? We have always taken the view that the census has never counted people, whole numbers of people, as the Constitution says, but rather they count residents, that is, where people have as their usual place of abode. That means the census does not count, for example, diplomats. They don't count people who are just visiting on a B-2 tourist visa for a few days. They count people who are domiciled in the United States, their usual place of residence. And they ask a series of questions to ascertain where your usual place of abode is, where you usually sleep. Well, if they can ask that question, they certainly can ask the question, are you a citizen or not?
All right. Well, with that, let me turn now to our other guest, Aaron Sherb. Also, Aaron, talk about the thrust and purpose of Common Cause, and obviously whether or not your organization is in favor or not of this citizenship question. As Dan Stein said, what's the big deal?
Thanks, Carol. So Common Cause is a national nonpartisan organization with 1.2 million members around the country, and we're working to hold power accountable and help elevate the voices of everyday Americans in their government at the federal, state, and local level to help get big money out of politics, help elevate the voices of Americans at the ballot box, and partisan gerrymandering. And why we see the census as critically important is to make sure that the Constitution is in fact upheld, because as Dan mentioned, it asks specifically to enumerate the number of residents, number of people in the country, not citizens. And if the founding fathers had wanted to only count citizens, then they would have said that in the Constitution. But we think, you know, it's critically important to count everybody, to count residents, to make sure that the political voices of everybody are heard in government. So everybody, whether or not they're documented or not, has a voice. And we're extremely worried about the potential undercount, which the government actually predicts will be at least 6.5 million people if the citizenship question is included on the census. And so not only would that potentially be undocumented immigrants who wouldn't be counted, but it could be lawful citizens who are here as well, who are just worried about being deported through ICE if they have somebody who's undocumented in their residence.
Immigration and customs enforcement.
Thank you. And so there's kind of a chilling effect, if you will, by including the citizenship question on the census. The census last included a citizenship question in 1950 for certain respondents. And since then, since the citizenship question was removed after the 1950 census, the undercount has gone down significantly. I have a chart here, which I know it can't show to your viewers, but it can describe it, from the U.S. Census Monitoring Board that showed that 1950, the undercount was about 4%, and then it steadily went down after the citizenship question was removed to 3%, and then all the way down to below 2%, and actually it's been below 2% since after 1980. And so Common Cause vigorously opposes the inclusion of any citizenship question on the census, and we've been involved in supporting litigation to try to prevent the citizenship question from being included on the census.
Well, back to you, Dan Stein. Let's get to the administration's original reason for adding the citizenship question, which since has been somewhat undermined by evidence that in reality they added the question to enhance the count of mostly Republican and non-Hispanic white Americans. But we'll get to that in a minute. How would adding the citizenship question to the census help enforce the Voting Rights Act?
Well, it provides better data quality for looking at proportion of citizens who are voting in any congressional election, and gives the U.S. government better ability to detect voter suppression efforts. And that's a very valid and important public interest. The counter argument is that by asking citizenship, you may not be able to get a good count of people with no right to be in the country, really goes to the broader question of the impact on the civic fabric of sustained illegal immigration and whether or not that's something we can sustain as a nation over time. Because if we can't, as one people, come together and enumerate specifically who's a citizen and who's not without creating a massive undercount because so many people have broken the law, then you really undermine the whole constitutional purpose for why we have a census and why we have representation.
On the other hand, the Census Bureau says that there are better alternatives to a citizenship question that wouldn't pose significant potential quality and cost disruptions in administering the census, so that the information could be derived in other ways.
It has always been delegated to the Department of Commerce to ascertain how the census is conducted. It obviously is a political question, because Congress has made it a political question. Advocates have, like Common Cause, have made it a political question, whether we include this particular question. But the decision on giving, you know, one question over another over the years has varied. It hasn't always been a major political issue, but this particular one, because of the undercount issue, has created some kind of a political blowback, even though there are good and substantial public policy reasons why getting this information would be beneficial for a whole range of reasons.
Exactly. Again, there may be other ways than adding this citizenship question to get the information. So that leads me to ask you, Aaron Sherb, how do you think the citizenship question ostensibly helps to enforce the Voting Rights Act? And what do you make of evidence that has since come to light that perhaps the actual reason why the administration is doing this is to favor Republican voters as well as non-white Hispanic, which would then depress the allocation of federal funds to other communities, perhaps Hispanic or immigrant communities, most of whom are Democratic leaning. So there's a political undercurrent.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the Republicans were clearly looking for an argument to justify their goal of adding a citizenship question to the census. Many of them could care less about the Voting Rights Act. If Republicans in Congress or the administration actually cared about the Voting Rights Act, they would have held at least one hearing after the Supreme Court's awful Shelby versus Holder decision that gutted the Voting Rights Act in 2013. You know, instead, they didn't do anything. So I think they're just looking for some means to justify their goal of adding a citizenship question. And that's supported by certain documents, which you mentioned. So a deceased Republican operative, Thomas Hoffler, his daughter, after he passed away, gave Common Cause a number of documents from his hard drives, from computer files, that showed the real reasons that Republicans are trying to add the citizenship question. And that, in his words, to help Republicans and non-white Hispanic voters and to increase their political power. And so that's from before the Trump administration. And so clearly this has been a Republican strategy for a number of years. And that information clearly contradicts what certain Commerce and Department of Justice officials had testified in Congress. And so we're helping to elevate some of these documents that were contained in these files to help expose why Republicans clearly wanted to add the citizenship question.
We'll have more in just a moment, but first you're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. Our guests are Aaron Sherb, he's the Director of Legislative Affairs at Common Cause, and Dan Stein, he's President of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. We are discussing the politics of the 2020 U.S. Census. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel VOA. Well, here's a shout out to a very loyal listener, Jacob Fabon-Mije, who asked that we send greetings to his wife, Ife Olua, his brother, Ade Goriola, and all of the people of Agamo in Akure in Ondo State, Nigeria. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to our discussion. And back to you, Dan Stein. You know, notwithstanding the merits or drawbacks of the citizenship question, does it concern you or does it bother you that the administration may have obfuscated the real reason for adding the citizenship question and then tried to cover this up? We saw that the Congress...
The whole idea behind discovery, I suppose, is to try to find out, you know, what are the motives behind a decision. But in the end, you know, you assemble a bunch of documents And the question of what's probative of actual motive is very speculative. The fact that one deceased Republican operative made these comments, who must have been not necessarily that well physically at the time, toward the end of his career, is not probative of the overall motives of the administration.
So why doesn't the administration turn over the documents? Why did President Trump exert or assert executive privilege?
We are in a very polarized political environment in the United States right now, where there's an all-out war going on between the two parties, neither of them acting like grown-ups getting to solutions. There's been a complete breakdown between the Democrats in the House of Representatives and the Republicans in Congress and the administration. The continued battle over documents, many of them are overly broad and intrusive, that trench upon typical areas of executive privilege. Obviously, this is an exercise in frustration. Maybe the president doesn't want to continue to debate the matter any longer. The politics behind the inclusion of the census is not going to go away, because we've been including illegal immigrants in the census now. We talk about grabbing political power. California has probably at least 6 or 7 representatives in Congress it would not have but for the inclusion of illegal immigrants. We believe it's constitutional for the census to exclude people without lawful residence in the U.S. because they can't establish a lawful domicile. And the only constitutional purpose for having the census, congressional reapportionment in the House. Plus, there's great reasons why the American people need the data to find out the cost of immigration by asking the citizenship question. So independent of one dead political consultant's private hard drive that his daughter found, there are good and substantial public policy reasons to include the citizenship question.
Aaron Sherb, your response.
So I would like to note a couple key facts, the first of which is 6 former census directors from Republican and Democratic administrations have come out in opposition to the inclusion of the citizenship question on the census. So I think that's very critical. The census has broad implications beyond just political representation. Billions of dollars are allocated to states and localities based on what the census finds. Healthcare funding, funding for schools, funding for roads, food stamps are allocated to many communities around the country. And so by undercounting, by not including certain undocumented immigrants, some of whom came when they were 6 months old, a year old, 2 years old, by their parents' decision, they had no choice whatsoever in this. They're here. They're part of the American fabric. They're in our schools. They're in our hospitals if they get sick. We need to make sure that the necessary resources that are given to states and localities to help them in communities, or else we're going to be facing a crisis here if they're a misallocation of resources. So that's part of the bigger context for why we think it's critically important to not include the citizenship question on the census.
So, Dan Stein, looks like we're looking at, with the addition of the question, which is yet to be actually decided until the Supreme Court makes the decision, we're looking at the nexus between immigration and the census, in other words, the count of the U.S. population. So the administration looks like it tried to conflate the two, which is not to in any way take away from the legitimacy of the importance of immigration reform. Do you think it may not have been wise for the administration to want to include this question, which is the first time since 1950, and for reasons that Aaron said, many census officials, Republican and Democratic, have been opposed to this?
The argument is being made that the objective of putting in the question of asking whether you're a citizen or not in a free democracy will create an undercount. That's the proposition. That proposition has not been proved. There have been a couple of documents uncovered by a political consultant before the Trump administration making the allegation that if you added certain kinds of questions, you could chill responses. I think most people using common sense would know what those kinds of questions look like. Are you an illegal alien? You know, that might have a chilling effect. But asking if you're a citizen is a binary yes or no question. It is speculative whether or not it would actually produce an undercount. We do not want to see an undercount. We want everybody to be counted. We just don't personally think that people should not know the cost of immigration or that you should include those here illegally for purposes of reapportionment in the House.
Do you think that the question is speculative, that it would actually produce an undercount? Aaron, which of you, especially with respect to the immigration policy of this administration, which is a very anti-immigrant, and critics say this could, in fact, give pause to the immigrant community and could lead to an undercount. But what's your view?
Absolutely. Their own administration's view is that their estimate is that 6.5 million people would, in fact, be undercounted. And so that's the government's own estimate. You know, that varies somewhat, but at a minimum, 6.5 million people would not be counted. That's roughly the size of the state of Indiana, where Mr. Stein, I believe, went to college, where I'm from. And that's significant that if you include one whole state that would not be counted, that's by the government's own estimate. And so that has broad ramifications for the distribution of social services and healthcare education funding around the country.
So do you think that we're witnessing the politicization of the census, given this particular question, and the fact that the real reason for adding the question, the Enforcement of Voting Rights Act, looks like that may not have been the actual reason in the end?
Well, I think, yeah, these documents that were uncovered by a Republican, deceased Republican political strategist, shows that several Trump administration officials likely lied under oath when they were telling Congress why they, in fact, were trying to add the citizenship question. And these documents, which Mr. Hoffler, the strategist, was very concerned about not ever exposing. You know, he said, never put anything in email. We don't want anything in writing. In fact, these files that his daughter gave to Common Cause, in fact, show the real reason that Republicans have been trying to add the citizenship question. And so I think it's important that these documents are included in part of the record. And that's why I think the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union, which is the plaintiff in the citizenship question case that's currently before the Supreme Court, I think that's why they asked for the Supreme Court this week to delay their ruling to be able to consider that additional information.
Independent, again, Dan Stein, of the merits or drawbacks of adding the citizenship question, does it disturb you that it appears that Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Moss actually did, in fact, lie to Congress, saying that the Justice Department asked him to add this question when, in fact,
well, first of all,
it preceded that?
I don't think we have any evidence that he lied at this point. That has not been proven, and nor has it been proven that the Trump administration is anti-immigrant. The Trump administration is trying to enforce laws that have been enacted by Congress over many years, and those laws are part of the United States Code. And we are not aware of any effort, even by the administration, to reduce the levels of immigration, contrary to what we would like to see. And so we would just forcefully reject the idea that the administration is, quote, anti-immigrant. By the same token, there are lots of ways you can allocate federal resources and what have you. We want an accurate undercount. There's no question about it. But we also want to make sure the Census Bureau uses the information that we believe taxpayers and voters are entitled to get regarding the costs and consequences of immigration, as well as using the census to ensure that there's no suppression of the Voting Rights Act. We have brought several lawsuits against the census for counting illegal immigrants, as well as trying to get them to add questions about permanent resident status and others in order to achieve those objectives. We have not been able to achieve standing because courts have said it is speculative whether or not your plaintiffs would be injured by the inclusion or the exclusion of those questions. How does the ACLU get legal standing to go into the U.S. court system to challenge what is ultimately a speculative proposition that if you include a simple citizenship question, that that's going to produce this massive undercount?
Well, Aaron Sherb just said that the Trump administration itself came up with a statistic showing a huge undercount if that citizenship question would be added to the census.
Again, this is speculative. The facts will not be in evidence until you actually conduct the census. You do the census, you do the analysis, you figure out what you achieved from it. Then it becomes a question of a balancing test. Does the public policy analysis suggest that the taxpayers and citizens of this country get more out of the inclusion of the citizenship question than it would cost in terms of the undercount? Obviously, states like California want to include all the illegal immigrants and get them to fill out the census form. Taxpayers and others in the United States may not necessarily care as much about that as understanding the costs of illegal immigration and other factors. So the point is, like any difficult public policy question, this is a balancing test of competing interests. And there is no direct and right answer.
Well, on that note, Aaron Sherb, you get the last word before we close out the program.
Well, just like to note, so three federal courts, as you mentioned, have already ruled against including the citizenship question on the census. And I think for many individuals and groups tend to be conservative who want to include the citizenship question on the census, if they want to change the Constitution, they're certainly welcome to try to amend the Constitution.
Sure.
But as it says clearly in the Constitution, that all persons in the United States should be counted.
Well, we shall see as the Supreme Court ponders this issue, hopefully by the end of the month, as census forms will need to be printed by the first week of July. I want to thank my guests, Aaron Sherb, he's the Director of Legislative Affairs at Common Cause, and Dan Stein, President of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR, for weighing in on this very important and controversial issue. Encounter was produced in Washington. Thanks to Patrice Martin for booking our guests. Our engineer was Rob McLean. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America.
Change the weather, yeah. I'm feeling heat in December when